Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this weekend's UFC main event, Brandon Moreno taking on Brandon Royval. Now, of course, this is a rematch. The first one was a rather unfortunate circumstance with Brandon Royval shoulder dislocating. It was a very fun fight up to that point, and we can argue back and forth as to who was doing the best and how that fight would have gone. Of course, this one is a main event over five rounds. They're both coming off losses to Pantoja, but they're both at a different stage in their career compared to when they faced each other last, for a few different reasons. Let me quick do a tale of the tape, and then I'll get into that. So Brandon Moreno, he has a record of 21 wins, 7 losses, and 2 draws, 5 knockouts, and 11 submissions, 6 rear naked chokes, 3 arm bars, a guillotine, and a triangle. Royval on the other side, 15 wins, 7 losses, 5 wins by knockout, 8 by submission, 2 guillotines, 2 triangles, arm triangle, and 3 arm bars. 2-inch height advantage for Royval, 2-inch reach advantage for Moreno. Worth noting as well, Moreno's never been stopped. In his 7 losses, he's never been stopped. Royval has been subbed once in the first fight against Pantoja, rear naked choke. And then, of course, he's got a TKO on his record, which was the shoulder injury against Moreno the first time around. And I kind of, in my head, I kind of write that off because there was still a lot going on in the fight. There was still a lot to play for. And although in that first fight, Moreno was able to secure Royval's back and he was able to, he was certainly in a twister position. Rogan mentioned it a few times. But there were moments where Moreno looked like he was in a very strong position, but Royval does tend to put himself in awkward spots, tumbling and rolling. He's a little bit addicted to chaos in that way because he's just constantly, you know, throwing things at his opponent, and you know it's a fun style to watch. It doesn't always necessarily play out in his favor. Sometimes he takes more damage than he needs to. Sometimes. He gives positions that force him to work hard to escape. For me, Moreno. Now, of course, we've followed Moreno's career, the ups and downs, him leaving the UFC, coming back, winning the title. He's evolving constantly. So the version that we're going to get in this next fight, who knows? Because the last time he fought, of course, was Pantoja. That was July of 2023. Which, to be honest, is a good thing that he's had a bit of time out because he did get cut in that fight, and you know he would need a bit of time to recover from that. But he's had some time out. He's had some time to reflect. He knows that he knows what it feels like to fight Royval, or at least the version that he fought, a while back. So he's probably already got a fairly good idea of how he's going to deal with this first round. And Royval has probably got a good idea of what Moreno feels like when he's trying to control from the top or from the back. So I would imagine they've both learned a bit from that last fight, both about one another and just generally about skill sets. For me, Royval, he had those 2 losses. So let me just pull up his record. Doesn't help me on here because both of the tabs say Brandon, which... He's going to take me a minute to figure out which one's which. Okay. So if we look at Brandon, I mean, he's had some fantastic fights. You know, even the times when he's not come out on top, he's had some really, really fun back and forths. Go back and watch the Casey Kenny fight. I mean, that was a 5-round unanimous decision loss to Casey Kenny, who we know is a real handful. Really, really fun fight. You know, the far more raw version of Royval, no pun intended with his nickname, but I do feel very much like in his last sort of 3 fights, so after he lost to Pantoja, the rear naked choke, he looked to me a lot like he'd settled down against Bonturin. He looked like he was going to kind of play the footwork and the control game a little bit more, and he starts to bury some kicks into the midsection, which I think is going to be really useful for him here. The problem with Moreno is that he's very, very... He's got a very kind of twitchy, awkward movement. You never know when he's going to dive forward and throw that short jab. And because his lead hand hangs low, like Robert Whittaker, it's very difficult to judge when it's firing up and stinging you in the face. So the challenge for Royval, which he does tend to do, is he kicks on the centre line. He leaves his head on the centre line when he's kicking. But if he can start to land that body kick to the midsection, this is southpaw the orthodox as well, remember. So open side kicks are there. The power side, the rear side kick is always there for the body. I mean, if he keeps hammering that into the body of Moreno, that's going to be problems. And, you know, it could potentially lead to the victory, just that on its own, just breaking Moreno down from a distance. If he starts to get stifled with the jab of Moreno, that's a different thing, though, and that's what's going to start to push him off balance, and that's potentially where he's going to start to favour a grappling exchange instead. Now, when it comes to the grappling exchange, as we've said, the chaotic style of Royvoll is what makes him exciting and what makes him dangerous. If we look at the stats, it's actually reflected quite well in the stats, I think, on this fight. So takedown average, 1.73 for Moreno, 0.43 for Royvoll. Less interesting scoring the takedown, more interesting attacking with submissions, 0.5 for Moreno, 1.5 for Royvoll. He's going to be attacking constantly, and it's going to be legs, it's going to be whatever he can kind of squirrel jiu-jitsu his way onto, because he likes that ferocious style. The reason why I feel like Moreno is most likely going to be able to nullify anything that comes from the floor is because of his wrestling base. That, for me, is the glue that's going to make the difference in this fight. If you've got one guy that's... And Royvoll settled down to a great degree on the feet as well. I think this is going to be a far more difficult test on the feet for Moreno than it would have been if the fight had stayed standing the first time around. The first time around, there was that kind of chaotic, you know, throwing all kinds of stuff at his opponent, and Moreno had a lot more to deal with. In this fight, I think he's going to have a more straightforward skill set to deal with from Brandon Royvoll, but I think it's going to be far more difficult because it's more measured. It's not that Royvoll doesn't have that chaotic thinking in the moment, flowing through the fight and throwing all kinds of stuff at his opponent. It's not that. It's that he can apply that when's necessary. And over a 5-round fight, that's important. I know he's coming off that loss to Pantoja, but if we look at that first round, Pantoja started at 100 miles an hour. It was just constant pressure. And they're the moments where Royvoll would sometimes in previous fights get kind of drawn into that scrappiness and get tangled up in those exchanges, where potentially Pantoja's got the experience in the grappling as well as the power on the feet. So that was not probably the smart game plan for him. And fortunately, he didn't play that. He was very, very clever in the way that he fought defensively in that first round. He took a very, very aggressive Pantoja that was just coming at him with more ferocity than you would expect from the defending champion in the first round of a fight. But he dealt with that pressure well. And then you looked at the fifth round, then he was starting to really turn the pressure up. Let me just have a quick sip of this. I am addicted to this cinnamon tea. It is really good. The thing in the Royvoll Pantoja rematch, I feel like the pressure from Pantoja early. He was intending to push Royvoll to a break point. He was thinking there was going to be a moment where Royvoll could just not help himself and he was going to dive on a leg or something, and Pantoja was going to be able to flatten him out, smash him and beat him up, take his back and choke him out again. Royvoll does have a tendency to allow his back to be taken a lot, which is not ideal for someone like Moreno, who's got good wrestling, good body lock wrestling. If he gets on a waist, if he starts to control Royvoll from the back, that's going to be really, really difficult for Royvoll to shake. And, you know, potentially he's going to give top position as he's scrambling. You can't underestimate Moreno's grappling ability as well. I don't think he's going to necessarily try and chase submissions on Royvoll, because Royvoll is very, very difficult to submit. I mean, you know, Pantoja did it once, but nobody else has been able to do it. For me, the smart thing for Moreno to do would be to get a measure of this new version of Royvoll, right? There could be a battle of the jabs. They've both got a very fast jab. They both have got a vulnerable lead foot, but in a different way. Moreno stands quite heavy on his lead foot, and his lead hand hangs quite low. That's not an easy thing to say. Lead hand hangs quite low. So a lot of his weight's on his lead leg. So if you can attack it and you can do damage to it, it's going to disable a lot of his movement and his lead hand attack. Royval, oh my goodness, Royval has got a slightly longer stance. He's slightly more well-balanced in his stance, but because he's well-balanced and his stance is long, that also leaves his lead leg quite vulnerable. But it does allow him to snap very, very quickly with his lead hand, similar to Brandon Moreno, who's always loaded on that lead leg. So both of these could really benefit from a lead leg attack. As I said before, though, this is southpaw v orthodox, so the calf kick is not going to be quite as easy to land unless one of them takes the initiative and switches their stance. Closed stance, orthodox v orthodox, or southpaw v southpaw, the calf kick's always much easier. It's difficult to land in an open stance, which these guys will be, Moreno being orthodox. It's more difficult to land because you have to kind of skip in and curve your leg around, which can land and can be quite effective, and we've seen people land it very well. But it does also leave you vulnerable for A, the kick getting caught, or B, you getting bowled over because you're on the center line with someone that's got fast hands. For me, Royval would be much better at holding the center, very much like he did against Nicolau. Like, he had a presence against Nicolau, which I don't think I've seen in many of his fights. And that, for me, is really where he's taken a step forward. He was able to keep Nicolau, like, quite controlled up against the fence. And, you know, and a dangerous individual as well. But the kicks against Bontorin when he was controlling him up against the fence, the same kind of footwork that we saw against Nicolau as well, that's where he's able to break Moreno down at a distance and not really... You know, not really engage too much in the grappling unless Moreno starts to want to wrestle because he's losing the striking exchange. A more measured Royval is going to be really, really problematic for Moreno to deal with. And I'm glad this is five rounds, because if it was three rounds, I just don't know as we would see a result. I feel like, you know, you watch Moreno, Royval, Pantoja, any of those, that combination, and they're always absolute battles. And unfortunately, Royval has been just a beat behind those two. But that doesn't mean that's not going to change at some point. You know, the experience does go on Moreno's side. And obviously now with Figueiredo out of the division, that does open up a bit more breathing room at the top for Royval to kind of, you know, work his way back into a title shot, you know, quicker than he would normally. Really interesting fight this is. I'm very, very much looking forward to it. If Moreno's smart, he's going to be stinging with that lead hand. He's going to do damage to the lead leg of Royval best he can, and he's going to make him paranoid that a level change is coming at any moment. For Royval, he's got to abandon that take no prisoners style. He's got to settle down a little bit, and he's got to make calculated decisions that are going to lead to a victory, as opposed to thinking of the next coolest thing in the next minute, which is what he did a lot in earlier fights. I feel like those two losses that he had, the loss to Moreno, the loss to Pantoja, they changed something in him. And even though he's coming off that loss to Pantoja, I feel like he stepped up. That last round that he had, where he was kind of cruising and flowing a little bit when Pantoja was tired, that's really where we start to see Royval start to shine. If he can constantly throw those submission attempts at Moreno, you know, Moreno's going to be sweating bullets on the floor, trying to avoid any of those kind of ankle lock entanglements, etc., etc. He's going to constantly be trying to circle back into strong positions where he can work his ground and pound techniques. And you know, ultimately, it's going to be the viciousness of the strikes and the targeting that's going to make the most difference for both of these guys. So the measurement of their strikes and the setup is going to be a real key. A very, very different fight compared to the last one, I will say that. One thing I will mention before I forget. And I didn't do the knockdown thing as well. Moreno likes to catch kicks. He likes to snag a kick, especially if the person is on the outside and they're stinging him and he's starting to get a bit frustrated. He can't quite get to them. He can't quite close the distance down. If Royval's having success with that body kick from the outside, he might start to be able to trap Moreno into catching that kick. You know, you know what it's like in MMA. There are 99 ways to die, but this is one certain way that Royval can be calculated in the delivery of his techniques. If he's able to soften up the inside leg, soften up the body, and then come up to the head, we know how effective that can be. As far as knockdowns, as far as power, it actually goes in Royval's favor, but that's potentially because of his style. We've got 4 knockdowns credited to Brandon Moreno, 1,188 strikes, which is 1 knockdown per 297. On the other side, Royval's got 3 knockdowns, 513 total strikes, which is quite a lot less, but that's 1 knockdown per 171 strikes. Which is interesting, because I would say it's probably the other way. I would imagine that Moreno, and this is potentially because I think he's got slightly tighter boxing technique, especially on the inside where the power punching makes more difference. You know, he's a bit tighter with his hooks. He kind of seems to sit down on his punches a bit. So even though the striking, the power statistic in this regard goes to Royval, I still feel like Moreno might be far better served in that close range on the inside, utilizing his wrestling to stop Royval tangling him up and dragging him to the floor and keeping that pressure on in that boxing range where Royval's kicks have been neutralized. Yeah. Should be a really, really fun one. And I appreciate all the comments, by the way, on the t-shirts. I dug out a couple of shirts for you guys to appreciate. Big fan of Megadeth. And, you know, for those Megadeth aficionados out there that have been watching this all the way to the end, first of all, thank you very much. And second of all, how many song names did I drop in this episode? Because there were quite a few that I snuck into the analysis just to have a bit of fun with you guys. So let me know in the comments. Let me know how many you find. And, yeah, enjoy these fights. I'll see you next time.